Nor can market forces be the sole criteria in justifying how the debt and credit explosion made elderly Americans reaching retirement during the early 2000s less likely to own their homes than before. Those over 65, said the New York Times, not only have the fastest growing home debt, but also the fastest growing share of bankruptcy filings and the biggest growth in demand for credit counseling. More and more of the elderly are in outright financial distress. One in seven households headed by someone 65 or older was considered heavily indebted in 2001, devoting at least 40% of their incomes to debt payments, according to the Federal Reserve's Survey of Consumer Finances. Such practices seem unsafe on the micro level as well as the macro. Worsening the burden on the elderly was the trend reported in a February 2005 study for the medical policy journal Health Affairs. Between 1981 and 2001, medical-related bankruptcies increased by 2,200%, a spike that far exceeded the 360% growth in overall personal bankruptcies during the same time period. Medical-related debt had become the second leading cause of personal bankruptcy, partly because of the widening lack of health insurance, with the number of uninsured rising to 45 million. One of the study's authors, Harvard Law School professor Elizabeth Warren, observed that the people we found to be profoundly affected are not some distant underclass. They're the very heart of the middle class. These are educated Americans with decent jobs, homes, and families. But one stumble and they end up in complete financial collapse, wiped out by medical bills. Values beyond those of the market might also have reversed Alan Greenspan's decision not to prick the turn-of-the-century stock bubble. His case for not doing so, laid out in 2002 and again in 2004, withered alongside contrary theory and weighty evidence from the Bank for International Settlements, BIS, the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, and elsewhere. A study prepared for the BIS, analyzing 34 countries since 1960, concluded, in the words of The Economist, that a simultaneous surge in both credit and asset prices gives a pretty reliable warning of financial problems ahead. The case for a rise in interest rates is therefore stronger when asset price rises go hand in hand with rapid growth in credit, as in America in the late 1990s. As for the serial liquidity that replaced the stock bubble with a housing bubble, the IMF in 2003 conducted a detailed study of previous property slumps in the United States and 13 other industrialized countries. The conclusion was that a real estate bust less than half as large as a decline in stock prices had typically proved twice as dangerous to national economies, with effects lasting twice as long. Should a fall in real estate prices in the 2000s bring the tumbling economic dominoes avoided earlier, the Federal Reserve Board's decisions might be re-examined under a cruel lens. Can bubble popping be left to the whim of a central bank blinded by fealty to finance? Can unsafe credit practices be allowed when unsafe industrial practices have been regulated or prohibited? We shall see. If the financial services industry has risen to new heights of influence and economic dominance, its predilections and practices seem to march to a familiar drummer. End of Disc 11.